Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. This is John Beener. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Glad you've joined us. Hey, we got another great show today. We're about the good news of Jesus Christ, all the things he's doing in people's lives, whether they know him or not. That's one of the exciting parts about this show. We've got audio clips about stories of individuals and people. We're not about the bad news, who shot who bombed who murdered, raped, too. We're about the good news of Jesus Christ. Always turn around. If we turn to him, he's got answers. He's got solutions to make our life better and make us more productive, more outstanding citizens, human beings, family members, business leaders, whatever it may be. God's got a plan. He'll work through evil. He'll work through our free will to go do, run and chase our own little dreams. Again, thanks for joining us. We've got here stories. The theme is why and how atheists are changing their minds. Have you met any people like that? That's happening all the time. Here's a one. First story is an atheist who had a total turnaround after coming to Christ. An ex-atheist had evil that he really what brought him to Christ. The next one is a story of a rock star in China. Amazing what happened to him. Not only turned around, came to Christ, but influencing millions of people. Kristen Powers, who's a commentator on Fox News and other channels and media. I forgot what outlet she actually represents. Tony Nazarella is our sponsor today with Murray Hill Theater. Then we have a fellow named John Joseph, former atheist. And then finally, a former atheist who really was came to Christ and totally flipped them because they were always in fear of dying. That's what happened with her. Actually, let's go ahead and get started here. Well, let me tell you another couple of things here. We've got a boot camp coming up September 8th, and we're very excited about that, the Wise Counsel Boot Camp. Everyone is invited to that. There's just a small fee. You can learn about it on our website or even the Ask Wise Counsel website. If we can pray for you for any reason, you know, you're glad to have you contact us. I'd love to hear from you on our website called Inspiration 316, Inspiration 316. Let's go ahead and get started here with this story of an atheist who finds an answer and has a total turnaround.
5 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd be sitting here, you know, telling my story of salvation, I would have laughed right in your face, and I would have told you you were a crazy Christian. I didn't believe there was hope. I didn't believe in true love. 5 years ago, I didn't even believe in myself. I heard people use the term atheist, and when I decided I knew what that meant, it just was kind of stuck in the back of my mind. Like, I think that's where I fit better than anything. It was more just, there's no such thing as God. Like, if God really cares about people, like all these people say he does, he wouldn't let children starve and cities burn down, and he wouldn't let people get into situations where they hurt each other. I just thought Christians were meddlers and they took away the rights of people and they were just trying to create this new world order. I really viewed Christians as evil. I became really combative. Like, I'm not gonna let them get away with this. This is a fairy tale. This is crap. Like, they cannot just come and fill people's heads with this fantasy. I faced life feeling like every day should be awesome and it should be fun, but I did that with drinking and drugs and boyfriends. And if I died, I was buried. That was all I really believed. I met my best friend, who happened to be a Christian, through a past relationship. She was the first friend that really started to talk about Christianity in a different way to me. I remember she took her jacket off and she had this shirt on with bright pink lettering. It said, "Jesus is my homeboy." I was like, isn't that blasphemous? Can you really say that? And she just lived it. I mean, that was about the closest I had seen to someone really just demonstrating a love for Christ. rather than just duty to him. And man, I just remember thinking, like, how am I ever gonna be friends with her if we're so divided on these things? I mean, we had debates. We had heated debates. I really let her have it. I was like, that is the most crazy hogwash I've ever heard. And because I knew her personally, I felt like she really did have my best in mind, that she wanted to break through those hard things with me. And in that time, I met a really awesome guy, and we got close, but probably a little too close, because I got pregnant only a few months after we met. I decided I gotta get rid of this problem. I went to a clinic and heard any of the options I had. And that was where a lot started to change. There was this picture this woman handed me, and it was just a dot. But she explained to me that that was a baby. I just started to wonder, like, how on earth that was gonna become a life. You know, this had to be something bigger than me. Up until then, I had been so snarky to Christians, but I started to lean in a little more and wonder if maybe what they were saying was true. My best friend had approached me. She basically said, I understand you're really struggling for answers right now. She says, I just want to tell you, like, what if you just gave Christianity a try? She says, because I go to church and I pray, and you'll never know until you know, but I can tell you there are answers. And she says, if you just gave it 1 month, you know, just come to church, and then you can just say at least you tried. I realized she cares more about this faith than being a popular friend right now. That said a lot, because we had been through a lot. For some reason, it just felt like if I could just go, maybe I'll hear something, or at least I can just be alone for a little bit and think. I hid myself up in the balcony, and I actually owned a Bible from all my years of trying to disprove, and the worship team performed Canons by Phil Wickham. There were certain words I vividly, you know, remember reading them on the screen for the first time and just thinking, wow, that's what I feel. You know, having been an atheist and believing in science, to read the moon and the stars declare who you are, it took me away from that happenstance, and it put me in the position that just like I was created and my baby was created, you know, this whole world, this whole universe was created, and they all proclaim what a power he is. And on a personal level, you know, it says, I'm so unworthy, but still you love me. For me, this didn't make any sense. You know, he can redeem good people, you know, people who've made little mistakes and messed up and didn't say their these and thous or something like that. He doesn't redeem women who are pregnant out of wedlock, who have a path of emotional carnage behind them. And this song was just reminding me, you know, even if you're unworthy, he loves you. You know, we're all unworthy. You know, that's the beauty about grace. It's a gift. You don't get to pick and choose who gets it. You know, you just accept it. And it was after that song and a really powerful message, I finally accepted Christ. But I remember just sitting there, because it wasn't so easy, because I mean, it was almost like I felt bad for him to have to take on everything I lived. It's like I felt bad that Jesus had to own, like, me. And I just remember holding my belly and holding my breath, and I just said, are you sure that you want to save this one? Are you sure? I mean, I called him names. I laughed behind his back. I mocked him in public, and I realized I'm no different than all those people that were right in front of him, you know, as he bled. And if he went for them, you know, he went for me too. You know, it's a struggle to believe every single day that Jesus really did die for me. And when someone challenges what I believe now, I remember being that person. I remember taking any opportunity I had to just stick it to the Christian. But now, I mean, my faith is so big. It's like, I know where you've been. I know that feeling. And I promise, if you give me just a few minutes, you know, I'll talk about it with you. I try to just get them one step closer, one question closer. As much as I know about what it's done for me, it's worth a shot to try to get them to come over too.
Amazing. Totally amazes me how many people have this mindset that there would be no evil if there was a loving God. There'd be no evil. Folks, those who don't get it, that God gave us free will. That means the right to choose and do good and do evil, you know, but he's there. He's not, when he allowed Adam and Eve to go free, it allowed for them to choose right from wrong. And he said it basically to them, hey, you can follow me or you can follow the world's ways. And the world's ways are led by evil. You know, what Satan does to try to attract people into deceit, to lies, to to murder, to drugs, to alcohol, to find anything to fulfill what's inside them, the emptiness inside them. You know, I like what she finally said from her roommate encouraging her, give Christianity a try. Go to church for 3 months. If it touches you, great. If it doesn't, good. You can sit in the back. You don't have to sing. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything, but just sit in your little corner and hear what is said in that church and get an understanding of where these people are coming from and how they are not nuts. They are real. God is real. He's in the midst of all of our lives, whether we know him or not. He's right there next to you. He's right near you. He's in the back seat. He's in the front seat with you. You know, God is a God of love, truth, and light. He's there for all of us. You know, he's waiting on us for opening the door, you know, saying, hey, God, are you there? I need you. I want you. I want to understand how to be, have a better life, to have more enjoyment, to be more fulfilled with the things that God has planned for us. I mean, God is just so full of love, and it's all through going to church. Yes, going to church isn't everything. It's not going to turn you into a perfect Christian. Nothing will, other than seeking God. Even that won't turn you to be perfect, because we're all born into a world that is full of sin and full of problems. But God is there to answer your needs, to fulfill your destiny, know what your purpose is. Here's another guy, Mike Adams. He's had a problem with evil. That's evil brought him to God. That's this interesting little story. Let's listen to his story.
When I was a kid, 10 or 11, I was baptized, but I fell away from Christianity my very first semester of college. I was in a band. I supported myself for 4 years. Hair down to about here, it's kind of funny. The lifestyle just drove me, you know, further away from God, from to where agnosticism was not enough. I had to slam the door and declare myself to be an atheist. It was just really driven by anger and also by a desire to live free of constraints.
But after witnessing a savage prisoner beating and interviewing victims of horrifying abuse at a prison in Ecuador while on a teaching exchange, Mike Adams' atheism suddenly melted away.
I remember audibly saying I was wrong. I actually had an exact moment where I just renounced atheism, and I said I will never, ever go back to that again, because I realized when you cast your eyes upon absolute evil, it kind of proves that there's something that's good. The shadow proves the sunshine, as C.S. Lewis was fond of saying.
As he went on to become a Christian and become publicly vocal about his change in worldview to a biblical perspective and the politics that flowed from it, he began to encounter professional roadblocks.
Before I became a conservative activist, I was given several teaching awards in 1996, one of the top 50 professors in spot evaluations, student evaluations. 1998, the Greeks gave me Professor of the Year at UNCW, Office of Dean of Students, gave me that award in 2000.
He's by far the best professor I've had here at UNCW. He makes the subject matter practical, which is hard for some professors to do.
He's just one of those professors that has just such a great attitude going into it. And even though our class is Tuesday nights for 3 hours, it's a complete blessing to go to class and be able to have a professor talk to you, make somewhat boring subjects completely interesting.
But in 2006, Mike Adams was denied promotion to a full professorship by his state university, despite his teaching awards and tenure.
I asked the reasons why, and a letter was given to me by one of the defendants that said I was deficient in all areas, including teaching.
Adams filed a discrimination suit against the school, which is wending its way through the courts. The University of North Carolina Wilmington declined to discuss the case on camera, saying it's not the school's practice to discuss ongoing litigation. In the lawsuit, he is being represented by the Alliance Defense Fund, co-founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy.
It is a strange irony that in the early 1990s, I used to turn on Dr. James Kennedy on Sunday mornings when I wasn't going to church with a screaming hangover, and I would scream at Dr. Kennedy, and I would actually hurl profanities at the screen. And sometime around that time, he establishes the Alliance Defense Fund. Later on, I have a religious conversion and a political conversion, denied promotion, And my representation is the Alliance Defense Fund. And so it's been just really, really fantastic. It's all come full circle.
That's one way to deepen your faith, right? How to trust God when things are tough, right? It's going to affect his career, obviously. But he turned from atheism and that experience down there in Central America, seeing what happens is it brought him back to the fact that God is real. He's involved in people's lives all the time. And then Dr. James Kennedy, he said he defamed him over the television because he was on TV for many, many years. Dr. James Kennedy headed up the Presbyterian Church, I think it was, in Fort Lauderdale for so many years. He passed away a few years ago, but I think his son-in-law is heading the church right now. But it's Coral Ridge, I think, is the name of the church. But incredible teacher, and he did a lot to spread the gospel. He was interviewed all over the country, you know, raised money for it, and here he has created this defense fund that now he's participating in to be able to try to get back with the university, or at least debunk the criticism and the negatives that have come against him. This is what happens. You come to Christ, you will be persecuted. That's what Christ says himself. If you're carrying my name, if you witness for me, you will be put down by other people. You will be criticized. You know, that's happening more and more in our nation, particularly as our leadership is drifting or trying to take on a worldview of things and allow more and more evil to impact us and impact other parts of the world. But God's got a plan. He's going to pull it all together. He's going to pull and use the evil in the world to change the world, to bring it closer to Christ, closer to his purpose, his plan, you know, back to where we were heading in the first place. God is a God of love, grace, kindness, joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. He's on our team, folks. If you're on his team, it makes a big difference. Hurting people hurt people, and that's what happens when you're an atheist. You're going to go out and you're going to purposely hurt other people because you have an emptiness inside. You don't know the truth. You don't have the love and the mercy and the grace that Christ provides if you're an atheist. You're just, that's perfectly where the enemy wants you. He wants you to think evil, think negative, think that these people are nuts or crazy and they're the worst. So he's going to keep trying to take you down that path and strain you and drain you and eventually hope you're going to come to hell with him, or going to hope that you're going to actually commit suicide, or hope that you're going to actually take some people with you to go to hell. Let's listen to John Joseph. He was an atheist, and he came to Christ. Thank you for Bill Maher said something that really influenced him. He was living a life of sin, but he was broken by the theme of a movie and the teaching of Ravi Zachariah. Let's listen in.
My name is John Joseph. From an early age, I was totally immersed in sin. And as I grew older, the nature and degree of my sin became more grievous. As I transitioned into college and early adulthood, the roots of sin that had taken hold in the past began to flourish and define my life in every possible way. Giving myself completely to sin, I eventually became an alcoholic, a drug user, and a cocaine dealer. I dishonored my parents. I was a liar. I used everyone and everything for personal gain and was full of lust, greed, and hate. But God, in his mercy, removed me from my surroundings and brought me to Baltimore, Maryland. In late 2008, while at Blockbuster, I came across Bill Maher's mockumentary entitled Religious. After watching the documentary, I was annoyed at Maher's obvious bias in his portrayal of religion. And so I got on Google and searched for a debate on Christianity. What I found was Ravi Zacharias, and over the course of the next year, Ravi would completely dismantle everything I believed in. As I continued to search for more teaching on the web, God in his mercy would eventually lead me to Desiring God Ministries. On January 5th of 2010, I sat down to listen to a message on John 3:16. And prior to beginning the sermon, Mr. Piper prayed that somebody would be brought from the darkness and into the light. Being faithful and true, our Father answered. Not 5 minutes into the message, as I sat devastated by the reality of my sin and the impending judgment that awaited, I knew that I deserved hell. I knew that I was going to hell. I was, however, then overwhelmed by the knowledge that my sins had been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our Father's kindness and mercy did not stop at salvation, as he has continued giving in ways beyond what I could ever imagine. He eventually led me to a good church where, through sound teaching and fellowship, he has caused me to grow and has changed my heart to want to serve him every area of my life for the rest of my life and for the glory of his name. Had you seen me 3 years ago, you would have likely thought I was unreachable. There's no reason for me to be standing here. I still can't believe that I'm standing here outside of God's power, but I stand here by grace as a testament to the power of the gospel. There is not a soul in this world that is too lost or too dead or too far from God's reach. You need to tell everyone this gospel. Do not underestimate the power of this gospel.
How about that for a statement? No soul too lost. You know, there's just no degree of sin that you can't be, have your life resurrected or come to know Christ and have joy and peace in your life. God has a plan for all of us, folks. Hey, not everybody comes to the knowledge of Christ when they're 5 years old. Even at that age, obviously, you're not going to have a lot of knowledge about the world, you know, and I'll put it in perspective. But God has a plan to let us run off and chase stupid things if that's what we want or that's what we pursue or that's what our heritage is or that's what our teaching is or that's where our heart is or that's where the enemy has us contracted. The point is that God can pull us from all those things. He can turn us around and change us. Atheists are coming to Christ. That's the theme of today. Why and how atheists are changing their minds. It's because they get influenced by the word. They get influenced by other people who are willing to talk with them and share with them. I want to thank Tony Nazarella for being our sponsor here today on Inspiration 316. He's the founder of Murray Hill Theater. Listen to a little interview we had with Tony. Okay, this is John Beaner. I'm here with Tony Nazarella, the founder of Murray Hill Theater. Tony, thanks for being the sponsor of our show today. I know you have a dynamic story to tell about Murray Hill and how it all came together. Can you share some of that with our listeners?
Well, sure. And thanks for having me, John. It's a pleasure to be here. The Murray Hill Theater is what some people call a Christian nightclub. That's not a perfect description, but we are a nightclub that brings in Christian artists and positive bands and faith-based bands, and it is a live music venue that is all ages. It is alcohol-free, drug-free, smoke-free, and again, we only bring in positive bands, and our mission, our vision is to give the youth and the young adults especially, but also adults, an alternative to the nightclub and the bar scene. So we provide a venue that brings in national, even international, regional, and local bands pretty much every Friday and Saturday night, and we give youth and young adults a place to gather and have fun without drugs and alcohol, hearing positive and Christian music. And we are in our 21st year, and it's a nonprofit organization. I'm a volunteer there, and it's been an awesome thing. It's really been cool.
Well, not only a volunteer, obviously you started the whole thing. I think you earlier had a vision from God about a coffee house, right?
Yeah, the idea came from a coffee house that really ministered to me as a young man when I made a commitment to my faith. I was trying to get out of the kind of the heavy drinking, partying scene, and I found a little coffee house that brought in Christian bands, and that ministry really helped me out as a young man. And then I left for college and worked in Chicago for a couple of years, and I came back to Jacksonville, and I felt like God said, you know, that place was really cool, and I always thought somebody ought to do something like that, and I felt like God said, well, I think you ought to do something like that. So it came from a calling from God.
That's right. He was planting seeds on you, and then he's finally saying, yep, it's your job to get it done. I know how that is, but that's exciting. Now, kids get a lot of support there, a lot of love. Counselors, you've got lots of volunteers involved. You organize, you bring these bands from all over the country in, yep, and even local bands, too, you use
local
once in a while.
Local bands, too, yep. And part of our mission is to be involved in what we call relational ministry. So when people come and hear music, we just like to get to know them, get to learn about them, and just we try to let them know that we believe Jesus is alive and real and wants to have a relationship with them. We don't get real pushy or aggressive with that. We just kind of throw it out there and let them know that there is hope in God. And we've had a tremendous impact on a lot of young adults. It's been a very fruitful organization.
Well, it's been a privilege for me to serve on the board. Well, that's a great organization, Murray Hill Theater. If you've got kids in the teenage years, that's a great place to take them. They'll have, like this talk Tony talked about, it's about relationships. God's a, God of relationship. He created a son. He created you and I. It's about loving us and loving him, loving each other. God has a plan and a purpose for love and relationships. Everything is about relationships and moving the world forward. Again, God has a plan through it. Murray Hill Theater does a great job, really, of helping young kids because they build relationships with the kids. They encourage them. It's a place to be along with peers and other kids that may have some of the same issues or longings, you know. And the more they hear the Word of God, the more they hear music, even from hard rock singers, they can change. They can be more on track. That's what a lot of the kids, the testimonies you hear from the kids who have been there, is it's about how they learned more about God. Even as they learned from their church, they learned more about God in this situation. And it kept them from going to alcohol, drug places, and getting caught up in the evil things of the world. That's what it's all about. Keep your kids on track. God has a plan for that. Again, this is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We've got our boot camp coming up on September the 8th. You don't want to miss that. Love to have you as a guest. We want to pray for you if we can in any way. Please email us at inspiration316.com. Inspiration316. We want to hear from you. We want to connect with you and help you in any way that we can. We got the second half of our show. We're going to have interviews with a rock star from China who was an atheist. But right now we got to, so hang on for that. But right now we got to take a break here to get some of the news. But we're heading out with Laura Daigle. How can it be? How can a God love you so much?
To give me mine, you say that I am free. How can it be?
We've got more Inspiration with John Beaner and Inspiration 316 coming up right after this look at traffic on listener-supported WTRJ The Truth.
FHP still clearing up an accident on the west side. It involves injuries, 103rd Street at Ricker Road. No roadblock, but I'm seeing some slowdowns there. Also in St. Johns County, 95 northbound, the exit ramp at State Road 207. That's in the final clearing stages as well. And some scattered showers slowing you down on the way home. It's a hot Monday afternoon. The heat index values as high as 105. Low tonight, 76. Tuesday, mostly sunny. The high, 94.
Okay, welcome back. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Our theme today is why and how atheists are changing their minds. Here we're coming back with Laura Daigle. How can it be? How can a God love us that much?
You plead my cause. You ride my road. You break my chains. You overcome, Lord. You gave your life to give. You say that I am free. How can it be? Oh, how can it be? Oh, yeah, yeah. And though I fall, you can make me new. And from this day, though I will rise with you.
Again, this is John Beaner, Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. We're sponsored by Wise Counsel, as well as Murray Hill Theater here today, and a lot of other good businessmen we're going to share more about in coming weeks with you that are part of Wise Counsel. Wise Counsel is a business and a ministry that I started 16 years ago that works with CEOs, entrepreneurs, ministry leaders to help them grow their ministry business from a biblical perspective. So we get together in a roundtable process once a month and share in small groups and give each other wise counsel, as well as have outside experts come and share. And I do one-on-one coaching as well with people. It's a godly thing. It's a godly process, and it's inspired me and changed my life in many ways. All right, we're going to come back here with a story of a rock star who was an atheist, and somehow he came to Christ in a very compelling way, and it caused him to, again, his heart to be changed, and he came to realization what China needed was that needed good Christian music in a different way. Let's listen to his story.
China is the last place you'd expect Christian concerts to be sweeping the country. But that's exactly what's happening. About a billion Chinese listen to music on a regular basis, and Christians are now saying, well, let's use it to spread the gospel. George Thomas brings us the story from Beijing.
Xu Qi was a rock singer for 20 years. He performed in nightclubs and other venues around China. But the fame and wealth, he says, did nothing to quench the emptiness he felt inside.
It took me some time to admit it, but the pleasure was temporary. It did not reach down into my soul.
Xu told us how that all changed in a single moment and transformed his singing career.
I was reading the Bible, and God spoke to me through the verse in Jeremiah 1, verses 7-8, which says, "Do not say, 'I'm too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you."
That scripture was like a revelation. Xu says he knew then that the Lord was calling him to do something new with his voice.
I realized that my past 20 years as a rock singer wasn't a waste, and that God was preparing me to use music to share his love.
So instead of playing in nightclubs, he started organizing Christian concerts around the country, something that had never been done before publicly and on such a large scale.
When I stepped out of the entertainment business and committed myself to the church and to using music to draw people to Christ, my life status and values changed completely.
And the Lord rewarded his obedience.
I've been in full-time music ministry for almost 3 years now. During these 3 years, around 2 million people have come forward to accept Christ and my concerts. Yes, 2 million people.
China loves music. In a first-of-its-kind survey released earlier this year, a staggering 977 million people, that's about 75% of China's 1.3 billion population, listen to music regularly. Xu admits that what he and other Christian musicians are doing to share the gospel in China is huge. This is, after all, an officially atheist country where the government often frowns on Christianity. And while the Christian music industry here pales in comparison to the U.S., Xu believes they are making inroads.
China has seen an explosion of singing competitions in recent years. Christians, by the way, have played a prominent role in several of the national competitions.
Among them, Li Wenqi, a finalist in China's televised version of the voice singing competition. As an 18-year-old, she says she understands the pressure many of her peers face in the frantic chase for wealth.
Many people today in China believe making money should be their lifelong goal, so they sacrifice everything to chase that dream. But that is fruitless. I try to use my music to encourage people to chase after God instead.
Li's father is also her business manager.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus."
He says it's truly remarkable that in China today, his daughter can go on national television and openly sing about Jesus Christ.
"This would have been unheard of 30 years ago, but now we can sing worship songs freely. I know God will continue to make his voice heard around the nations."
Joseph Chui pastors a local church in Beijing. He says professional artists like Li and Xu are introducing his countrymen to a genre of music that is creative, inspiring, and getting people's attention.
"Christian music is also influencing other religions. If you pay attention to Buddhist music, you find them to be very dull and boring. But nowadays, their songs also become quite cheerful. They adopted the power from Christian music to compose new Buddhist songs. So I think it also shows that Christian music has a wide impact."
This is music to Xu's ears. So in between writing new songs and holding Christian concerts, he spends his time trying to get other artists to step out and share the love of Christ.
I believe there are a large number of musicians who are afraid, for whatever reason, to openly sing about Christ. I'm praying that more people will be bold so more people can hear about his love.
George Thomas, CBN News, Beijing, China.
Oh, what a wonderful story. I remember one of my trips into China decades ago where I went into a small little church in Xiamen. It had been established by American missionaries back in the 1840s. They'd gone through all kinds of upheaval through the Cultural Revolution, but here they were, and they had the most beautiful choir. And to sit there and listen to them sing Christmas carols in Chinese, it was absolutely beautiful. What a wonderful story, wonderful things that are happening in China. The prediction is within just a couple of decades, China will have more Christians than any other nation on the planet. And that is wonderful. And that is something to pray for.
That's a great story from the 700 Club. That's Gordon Robertson sharing. 2 million Christians committed to Christ through this rock star's concerts. That means he has an altar call. How about that? That's pretty doggone neat. They said 97% of the Chinese people listen to some form of music. God is changing China from within. Yeah, you still have the communist government, but they can't control what's going on with Christianity. 140 million people in just 20 years. They went from something like 20 million to 140 million in 20 years. They were burning and banning the Bible under Mao Zedong. And now, of course, they've allowed it to be open and it's changing. Of course, it's producing economic wealth for China as well. And they just don't fully understand it. But God is changing that nation from the inside out. You know, it's changing the hearts of people. There are more Christians, dedicated Christians in China than there are people in the Communist Party. There's something like 85 million in the Communist Party and 140 committed Christians in China out of about 2.2 billion people. It's being changed, folks. It's a God thing. He is moving throughout the world, but especially in China. They've even, the government doesn't, yeah, they've done a lot of things. They've even burned churches. They've tried to squelch Christianity. It's so much in the home church movement, but the government then went ahead and formed their own version of Christianity, and they hire the pastors, and it's a mild form of Protestantism in China. And they have big churches in the big cities, but the idea is to not let... it's amazing. The communist governments realize that the Christians are not about taking over the government. You know, they're about praying for the government. And that's what we need to be doing here in our country as well. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. God has a plan. He's pulling us together around the world. It's happening in the Jewish community. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in South America. It's happening in Australia. God is moving in the hearts of people. It's exciting what he's doing. God is moving, as I just said. Let's go ahead. We'll get on. Here's a story of Kristen Power. She's a commentator that's often on Fox News or other stations, I think CNN as well. She talks about going from atheism to Christianity. Now, she claims her version of atheism was more about liberalism because she was caught up in the Clinton administration and knowing the people there, and most of them were negative about Christianity. But here she's being interviewed on Focus on the Family, just a clip to talk about her life-changing experience with the Lord.
Kirsten, let me peel this back a little bit, talk a bit more about you if I can. Your background, you talk about being raised Episcopalian, you're an atheist. We did a program not long ago, John, with a woman who grew up in a pastor's home and went off to an Ivy League university, became an atheist, and was one of the debaters. It was really a good program. If you didn't hear it, download it at FocusOnTheFamily.com. Yeah. She was very candid about that experience as an atheist, and then later became a Christian because she found emptiness in atheism. She said there are a lot of just mean people being mean to each other that all thought they were smarter than each other. I don't mean to denigrate anyone. But in that context, you lived it. What was that journey like for you going through that religious experience?
Yeah. I mean, my story is very different in that way because I was not looking for it. Last thing in the world I wanted to be was a Christian, honestly. And I had grown up Episcopalian, but you know, not evangelical or in any way or born again or any of those kinds of things. It was very high church, kind of mainline Protestant Episcopalian. I did believe in God, but there it wasn't anywhere near what would sort of come to happen to me, I guess. Went away to college. Whatever little faith I had, I lost. Ended up graduating from college. I worked in the Clinton administration. You know, all my friends were secular, liberal. So I really got even more deeply into just an incredibly secular world. And now all my friends were basically atheists, you know, or if they had any kind of spirituality, they were very hostile towards religion, you know, Christianity in particular. So I didn't really have any interest in it. And I started dating somebody who went to Tim Keller's church, Redeemer Presbyterian,
right,
in New York
Tim's
City.
Right, Tim's a good friend.
And I, out of curiosity, went with him. And but I told him up front, I'll never become a Christian. I'll never just – it's never going to happen. And I went to his church. And I'd say in about a year, probably in like 6 or 7 months, I started to think this seems – the weight of history is more on the side of this than not. You know, I started to just sort of see that, like, this is not even a – like, he had made such a strong case that I just intellectually actually felt like it's not even smart to reject this. You know, it just doesn't seem like a good intellectual decision. So I think I sort of nominally thought, yeah, you know, I'm like that, but I'm not one of those crazies, you know. And then I really, I mean, it was just sort of like God sort of invading my life. It was very unwelcome, and I didn't like it. And, you know, all of a sudden I started having a lot of different experiences where I just felt, you know, God doing a lot of things in my life. It's kind of hard to describe, but I did just have this moment of the scales falling off of my eyes and just saying, it's just totally true. Like, I don't even have any doubt.
I think all of us that are Christian understand exactly what you're saying, because we go through similar experiences.
Rather than what I would have thought it would be like, which is, you know, the clouds part and the angels sing and it's all so wonderful, it was horrible because all of a sudden I thought, well, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be one of these people, and I'm not a Republican, and I don't want to, you know, I just had nothing in common with them, and I didn't know any Christians, and so I was really quite freaked out and really resisted it, frankly, for a while. And I thought, maybe I'm having an episode or some sort of bad, you know, I really thought this is like a phase and it's going to pass. And so I did have, you know, I knew a couple people. Actually, one of them was Eric Metaxas, was one of my first Christian friends.
Author of Bonhoeffer.
Yeah. So he was friends with the boyfriend who took me to Redeemer. And so I knew him before I was a believer. So I called Eric up, and Eric was very helpful. And so I started to make friends, and it started. But it took me a couple years, really, to kind of accept it. You know, my family didn't.
And it sounds, Kirsten, by the way, this is Kirsten Powers you're listening to on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller. And it sounds like the kind of courage that enabled you to really come to Christ and embrace that which you said you would never, ever do really was similar to what you needed to have when you went after this story.
See, I don't really feel like I have any courage. It's interesting when you say that. And even when describing, like, when I became a Christian, I just gave in. You know, I wasn't even, it wasn't courageous. I didn't have any choice. I kept trying to not believe, and I kept just couldn't avoid it. It was, if I could have avoided it, I would have. There's nothing convenient about it in my life, in the world that I live in. It's not like living in the South or living somewhere where everybody's a Christian. I live in a world where nobody's a believer.
She lived in a world where nobody was a believer. She said she was part of the Clinton administration, and it was considered crazy if you were a loony Christian, like those people that might raise their hand or go to church and sit in a pew and listen to these long talks or sermons. You know, that's amazing. When I was a kid, I was raised in the church, okay? My parents didn't always go all the time, but I got a basic understanding of it, and I was taught in the denominational, it was a denominational church that I attended, that you can believe in Christ or you don't have to believe in Christ. Either way, you're welcome here, you know, which was fine. And my mom and dad just said, hey, the way to get to heaven, just be a good person. You know, there are no devils. There's no witchcraft, anything like that. That's Halloween stuff, cartoon stuff, you know. And so that's all I basically had is that. I was just trying to be a good person, you know. And I was a good person in many ways compared to a lot of other people. But what happened is I did think that people were a little bit crazy. I remember the mayor, where they said that the mayor was born again Christian. I said, what does that mean? How do you be born again? I don't get that. You know, I was attending a church that didn't get into the details of any of that. I never heard a testimony of anybody. And then what happened, though, I was in an office building, and every Wednesday night, these people would come from all over the city to go to First Baptist Church downtown. And I said, my gosh, what's with these people? Are they crazy or what are they? And then I had some issues happen that really got my attention. I was driving to work and saw a devil trying to get me down, and I was trying to get him down. And at that moment, I was ripped, all my self-esteem and all was ripped out of me. And I was living in fear for the next 10 hours until I saw a testimony on television that just totally changed my life. And I cried, heard a man talking about how his life had changed when he turned it over to Jesus Christ, stopped trying to live his life for himself and started living it for God. And that just broke me. That really brought tears to my eyes. At that moment, I knew God was real and active in people's lives. And whereas before, I never knew that or understood it. Okay, we need to go on to another story here of an atheist who comes to faith. He's just a woman, actually, who had a fear of dying. So she just became a stronger atheist. But then it finally met Christ because she found out she couldn't be that strong without him. Let's listen in.
You know, growing up, I didn't really think too much about God. I didn't believe that he existed, even when I was a very young girl. I remember being about 8 or 9 years old, and I was spending a couple weeks in the summer at my grandmother's house. And there was one night when I was laying in bed next to her. She's laying next to me, just asleep, breathing peacefully. And I just started thinking about what it'd be like to die. I started imagining just nothingness and blackness and just eternity of nothing. And that scared me. I lived with this constant fear of death. It impacted me every single day. I worried about getting hit by a car. I worried about getting some kind of illness. I worried about fires. I constantly lived in the fear of death. This carried through into how I lived in high school and college. You know, most people that don't believe in God, I think, kind of go an immoral direction. But for me, because of this overriding fear of death, I made different choices. I chose not to smoke, not to drink, not to do drugs. Honestly, not because I thought these things were sinful, but just because I was afraid I was gonna die. It impacted me every single day. I was a strong evolutionist, and absolutely, now looking back, I would have called myself an evangelical atheist. I was trying as hard to convert people to be an atheist as they were to convert me to believe in God. So I ended up taking a student teaching position for my last quarter in college in St. Louis. And after being in St. Louis for a couple weeks, I got a phone call out of the blue from a girlfriend. And she said, hey, Kim, I'm getting married and I really want you to come. So against all of my better judgment, I went to this wedding. And that day I met a young man who was willing to go head to head with me on these debates. He didn't run away when I was challenging his beliefs. And he was willing to spend the hours of conversation that it took for me to, I was just very argumentative and a complete debater. So we kept talking, and one night he said something to me about being saved. And honestly, I didn't know what the word saved meant. And so I just said to him, well, what is it? What does this mean to be saved?
And it was the first time in my life that I'd heard the gospel. I was 21 years old. I had grown up in the Midwest. I had Christian grandparents. I had even gone to a Christian college. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know that Jesus was God in the flesh. I didn't know why we celebrated Easter or Christmas. I didn't know the famous Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I didn't know that famous children's song, Jesus Loves Me. So that night, this young man told me the gospel about placing my faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, confessing my sins and repenting of them and turning away from a life of self to a life of service to my Lord Jesus Christ. And that day I had just mustard seed sized faith, but I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And at that point, honestly, my life completely changed. The biggest thing that changed for me is that when I read the Bible, and before people had shown me things in the Bible, and I always just thought, this is a fairy tale. I can't believe that people believe this stuff. And when I read the Bible, I thought, wow, this is real. It had power for me in a way that I had never seen before. So I began reading the Bible and seeing the truth that was in the scriptures. After becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, I continued to meet with this young man. Our conversations changed. They were less of debates and more fruitful conversations about the truth of the scriptures. And he continued to teach me, and he gave me my first Bible that I still have. And 8 months later, we were married. The other thing that really happened for me was the Lord released me from my fear of death. I'm no longer afraid of the day when I die. I can't wait to sit at the feet of my Heavenly Father and worship Him. And I just pray for all of you. I pray that you would seek and that you would find. I pray that you would study the Word because there is truth to be found there. And I just pray that Jesus would be glorified in me.
That's an amazing story. She was an evangelical atheist. I'd never heard that term before. I mean, she was very enthusiastically going to argue with you and tell you how wrong you were about believing in Christ, and how Kirsten Power said a minute ago, crazies, those Christians are crazies. Well, it says in Proverbs 3:7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Trust the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of stories about this. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're all about the good news of Jesus Christ and how he's helping people, turning around atheists. That's what the theme of today's show has been, why and how atheists are changing their minds. They're having an encounter with Christ. They're coming to know they have emptiness. Hurting people are hurting people. They're trying to be out there, atheists are, and put people down and say, you're crazy for believing in Jesus Christ. Hey, we'd love to pray for you. If there's anything we can help with, encourage you, even get to you past shows or stories that might be helpful to you, we want to hear from you. So please email us at inspiration316.com, inspiration316.com. We want to also let you know about September the 8th. We've got our boot camp coming up, and we have got some incredible speakers we're going to be announcing soon, one of which is a fellow named Albert Lufsnitz. And Albert is 94 years old, but he travels the South America primarily in witnessing, praying for Christ, and healings are happening by the thousands. It's amazing what's happening. He's really turned around the whole country of Colombia. We're going to talk more about him in a couple of days on one of our shows here. Anyway, thank you for joining us. This is John Beaner. You've been listening to Inspiration 316. We're on here every day, work day that is, 4 to 5 p.m., 91.7, The Truth. Hang in there. God's got a plan. Goodness is coming. Goodness is around you if you just grab a hold of it. His name is Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you soon. God bless. Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.